Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
So we're talking about truth. Is there just one truth? Is it your truth, my truth? And yet you were having this conversation with a group of theologians about the truths or the teachings, the doctrines of the church. What did you decide?
Well, you know, it was interesting because this was actually the meeting of the Adventist Society for Religious Studies. And we were in Boston discussing things. And the president gave this address to all of us. And he said, you know, we need to start learning a shift of paradigm, mm-hmm. he said, from seeing the teachings and the doctrines of the church as a strand of pearls mm-hmm. and thinking that there is just one big diamond, not many, many different pearls, one big diamond, and that we view that diamond from different angles.
That's a nice thought. I like the way of doing that because basically it means that there is one core teaching of the church and everything else is just a different way of looking at that core teaching.
Yes, I think that if we could learn that, that would be a wonderful new approach, perhaps, to say that the whole Bible is about one word, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Well, you know, we were talking about this yesterday when we talked about Jesus's hermeneutics, how to interpret Scripture, how to understand the Bible, that all the law and the prophets were about him. But we had really a continuation of this story in Luke's Gospel, the 24th chapter.
Yes, if you remember yesterday's program, we talked about the actual verb when Jesus talked to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he told them that all the law and the prophets were about him, and he explained this to them, and the verb in Greek was the hermeneuo, where mm-hmm. we get the word hermeneutics, which right. means the methodology of interpreting the scriptures. So now Jesus is going to do the same thing for the rest of the disciples. He's going to show up to the other disciples that were not on the way to Emmaus.
And this starts in verse 36. It says, while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst and said to them, peace be to you.
Well, if you remember, peace is one of the Lucan themes. Mm-hmm. So many times Jesus says peace when he appears or when he dismisses somebody, because one of the things that the gospel brings, as far as Luke is concerned, brings peace among people.
And of course, the understanding is that peace occurs wherever Jesus is.
Correct.
And certainly when he was in their midst, then they did have peace.
Correct.
Verse 37, it says, but they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit or a ghost. You're right?
That's
I mean,
right.
The last they knew, he was crucified and he was dead. And so verse 38, and he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have.
So after showing that he actually has a body, he says, do you guys have anything to eat? It's very interesting mm-hmm. because Jesus says, look, I am a person like the one you knew, a little different perhaps, but I still eat. And he says, do you have anything to eat? And they give him a piece of broiled fish. And then after that, something very interesting happens that continues what happened in the program yesterday. And it's in verse 44. He gives them the same explanation he gave the other two disciples.
Now he said to them, verse 44, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures.
Oh, I love that conclusion. First of all, we get the full formula of the Old Testament. Law of Moses, the first five books, mm-hmm. right? The prophets, all mm-hmm. the prophets, major and minor prophets, and the Psalms.
The Psalms,
and he says the whole
the poetic
thing,
literature.
That's right. All those things were about me. And then he did something special. He opened their minds so they could understand the scripture.
That is so key, because a lot of us have heard scripture all of our lives, but we may not understand it. You can grow up in the church and never really understand the main teaching of the Bible. Hmm. I was in my 20s before I really began to understand the Bible, and yet I grew up in the church. It was only then that my mind started to be open, slowly but surely, to understand the things of scripture, that everything really revolves around Jesus.
You know, I think if we know the scriptures like these disciples did, they were Jewish. You know, most of them probably knew the Torah mm-hmm. by heart, the law of Moses
yes, they
by
did.
Heart. And here Jesus, for the first time, is helping them to understand the scriptures in light of his mission and his sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And then what Jesus does next he tells them that they're going to become his witnesses about this to the whole world. And he tells them, what is that diamond? What is that core truth? What is that main preaching that now the Christian church has to preach to the rest of the world?
We find this beginning verse 46, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem.
So here we have the actual core preaching. It has three parts.
Mm-hmm.
This core preaching came to be known through a Greek word called kerygma. Kerygma is the core proclamation of the early Christian church. So there's many theological books written about what was the kerygma.
Right.
What was the core preaching? What was the diamond? And here there are three parts to the diamond. Forgiveness of sins in his name to all the people.
That's right.
To all the nations, not just to the Jews, but to everyone.
And it is in his name. So this really, again, revolves around Jesus. We've learned that all the Old Testament can be interpreted through Jesus. It is only properly understood when we see it in the light of Jesus. And that means that the core teaching of the church is, again, about Jesus. Everything is in his name. The forgiveness of sins in his name, and then we are to take this to the entire world. Started in Jerusalem, and then from there goes out.
You know, after that, after designing and teaching them what was the core kerygma, what was the diamond that they were going, you know, sometimes I think that we're all so confused.
Right.
If you have 2 minutes to witness to your neighbor, what do you tell them about? What they should be eating to be healthier? Do you tell them about a particular doctrine, or you tell them about Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
And I have had people ask me those questions. What should I talk about first? And what do you mean what you should talk about first?
This should be a no-brainer. It's always Jesus.
Absolutely.
Always, always, always Jesus.
Absolutely. And then he says here that now that you understand the core preaching, go and be witnesses of these things, says verse 48. And you know, the Greek word for witnesses is martureo, where we get the word martyr in English.
Yeah.
Because those were witnesses that died for their witnessing.
Yeah, and obviously they demonstrated their witness by the firmness of their belief in those things, because if you're willing to give your life for it, then that means that you truly do believe these things. Verse 49, it says, and behold, I am sending you forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. So he's saying that you will receive power to do this witnessing. It's not about you, it's not in you. I've had people tell me, well, I don't know the right words to say. I don't know what to do. I'm afraid I'm going to say something wrong. And basically, a witness is to simply tell what you yourself have seen, heard, and experienced of Jesus, to use that, the power that he has promised to give to you, and then simply share that with those around you.
You know, the power that Jesus was talking about had been a prophecy way back in the Old Testament that in the end of times, God would send his spirit over people so that they could talk about God in new and amazing ways. And the Holy Spirit is one of the theological themes of Luke. He has two volumes. He has Luke, and then he has a second volume, the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
And the same way that this book ends, the next one begins.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Holy Spirit is a big issue for him. And so in the first two chapters of Acts, they're all waiting for this Holy Spirit so they can be witnesses.
That's right. And when that Holy Spirit is poured out, then their witness is so strong that thousands are baptized in a day.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is prophesied of in the book of Joel, among other places. But Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it will come about after this that I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days.
So that was the purpose. God would pour his Holy Spirit to empower people to witness for him. But then, of course, to witness what? What was the core truth?
Mm-hmm.
We go back to the specific kerygma.
That's right.
And that was the forgiveness of sin in the name of Jesus for everybody.
For everyone. For the whole world. In fact, you know, you see this again and again. I remember the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, as he told them, when I was among you, I determined to know only one thing, and that was Jesus Christ and him crucified. Right back to that core teaching of the church. And these were for mature Christians. He said, even you need to have one basic teaching, Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Yes. You know, sometimes, and I want to speak directly to our listeners right now, I know that there are many denominations out there. And I have people tell me, well, what? I'm very confused. All these people have teachings and they have doctrines and I don't know which to go. Well, I want to tell you that if you have been confused by religious jargon, perhaps, this is what Jesus said. There's one main core truth, and that is that I have died, that I have resurrected on the third day, and through that, you can be forgiven of your sins. And this is the good news of the gospel.
Now, there are a lot of other teachings that churches have, and those teachings have a value, but they only have a value in that they help illustrate the core truth, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So even if your church has a doctrine of healthy living, if it has a doctrine of worship, if it has other doctrines or teachings, again, those have value in that they demonstrate Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Correct. Think of doctrines and teachings as a straw through which you are drinking the living water. But it's always the living water. The living water is Jesus Christ, and He's the diamond. He's the core teaching of the church.
Understand that we are not denigrating doctrine. We think that this is important. It is important that we have straight doctrine. But straight doctrine means that it always glorifies Jesus Christ. It always points back to the cross and to the forgiveness of sins.
And we want to invite you today to decide to drink the living water so that you may live your life from this day forward knowing that your sins have been forgiven.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.
Woohoo!